The Fields Honor Group proudly presents Huddle Up,
Huddle Up
with Bucky Brooks, J.P. Shatter, John Osher, and NFL Network analyst and former Jaguar Bucky Brooks bring you the latest on your Jacksonville Jaguars.
Welcome to the new era.
Huddle Up with Bucky Brooks starts right now.
And welcome in. It's Huddle Up with Bucky Brooks on a Wednesday afternoon. Heading into Week 13, the Jaguars visit the Los Angeles Rams at SoFi Stadium. Trying to get off of this three-game losing skid against a team that's lost three in a row of their own. Here's what's coming up on the show today. Of course, it's NFL Network analyst Bucky Brooks. Jaguars.com senior writer John Osher. We'll look ahead to the Jags and the Rams. Urban Meyer shaking off the college rumors. We'll review what he had to say last night on the Urban Meyer show. Six games to go in the regular season. A lot of offensive talk today. And we'll get some social media questions before we get out of here today. John Osher with us now. Hi, John.
You know what I love, JP?
Yes.
I love the intros now for this show. The Huddle Up podcast with Bucky Brooks. And then there's this long pause. And John Osher.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. It might be my favorite thing about this fall. I'm really enjoying it.
Bucky, good afternoon to you.
Hey, what's going on? Look, John.
Long pause.
I just want you to understand, Johnny Carson and Edmund Mann they had a nice run. And I don't know if Edmund Mann was ever introduced, but he was a very vital part of the show.
You know what he was? He was long pause part. Guy.
Yeah.
I'm long pause guy.
Yeah, he was.
Hey,
like,
I'm just happy to be included.
Doc Severinsen got introduced before he did every night, actually. Yeah but he was right. The guy introducing people. So,
that's right.
Ed was. Hey, so let's get right to it. The Jaguars, of course, back to practice today, getting ready for the Week 13 game against the Los Angeles Rams at SoFi Stadium in Englewood, California. We heard from Urban Meyer again today, but yesterday on the Urban Meyer show, we asked him about what is an ideal offense for Urban Meyer and the Jags.
My entire career has been, what's your offense? Tell me who my quarterback is. You know, what about your defense? Well, tell me who our defensive ends are. You know, I was enamored with the 3-4 defense, but we were very fortunate. We kept recruiting these 5-star athletes that are 4-3 defensive ends. So guess what defense we played? 4-3. You know, when Dwayne Haskins was a quarterback, we dropped back 50 times a game, and he threw 50 touchdowns and very few interceptions. When, you know, JT Barrett or Tebow was your quarterback, you're not going to do that. You're going to run spread option football. So with Trevor Lawrence, you like to see a combination of what, a little bit of what you saw. I thought our offense at times looked unstoppable. You know, if you let him play his game in the gun, but you also, and once again, James Robinson is not himself yet, you know, and I love him. We all love him. He's such a tough guy, but you can see he just doesn't have that second gear, you know, the first gear that he needs. But that to answer your question, a combination of both, and I see teams across the NFL do it. I know he can do it, and we just have to keep building.
So there you have it from yesterday's Urban Meyer show, Bucky, and it depends on the personnel and all that, and there's the answer. What do you think?
Well, I mean, I think it's the first time that I've ever heard him clearly address it, to be honest. Since Trevor Lawrence came into the fold, he never really has kind of given what the vision of the offense would be. It's always been, A, we want to play pro-style football, we want to play in a pro offense. That is the first time that I've heard Urban articulate, hey, it should be a mix. It should be a mix of him doing gun stuff, read option stuff, some traditional stuff, and those things. It is a personnel-driven deal when it comes to the National Football League, and you got to do what your best players are best at, and it starts with the quarterback. And so I would expect to see more of what Trevor Lawrence did successfully at Clemson while still mixing in some of the stuff that are the trends in the National Football League. That makes sense. And so hopefully we can see more of that as the season is down the quarter stretch.
What do you think, John?
Well, I think we're going to see more of it.
Yeah.
You know, people who have listened to me know how I feel about it. The RPOs worry me because it means a lot of running for the quarterback. I think it will be kept to a minimum. I think they will still use it to a degree, but it does go back to you don't want this kid hurt. And Urban Meyer said the magic words after the game on Sunday when he said, Trevor Lawrence looks like he does a good job protecting himself and getting down. That's the key. And you hope that he does, because what you don't want is injured quarterback rehabbing this offseason rather than being involved with OTAs. So I think we're going to see it, and I want to see him come out of this healthy.
Yeah. John, like, come on, man. We were so pessimistic over there. We worried about the injuries and those things. There are ways to run the RPOs without exposing the quarterback to hits. Like, a lot of the run pass option stuff is not necessarily the quarterback running, but it's stick the ball in the belly of the running back while identifying a defender on the second level. And what you do is you either hand it to the running back or you pull it and you throw a slant that whizzes behind the defender's ear. There are things that they can do that are read option oriented that don't necessarily involve Trevor Lawrence being the guy who is the runner. And so I think depending on who's on the coaching staff kind of delving into this, there are a bunch of new age concepts that they're doing at the collegiate level where you don't necessarily have to have an athletic quarterback to do it. Trevor's athletic enough to run it, but I mean, it keeps advancing. There are a bunch of different things that are, I mean, we see every Saturday that quarterbacks are involved in manipulating and kind of teasing and tormenting the defense without necessarily having to put themselves out there as runners. I would like to see Jacksonville do that. Then we can get the best of both worlds. We can do the RPO stuff that Trevor likes, and we can keep him safe and secure like you want him to be.
Safe and secure.
I watch games on Sunday, and I like a guy who can win from the pocket. And I, you know, look,
okay,
I'm 55. I ain't going to love running quarterbacks, Buck. But I'm going to defer to you. You're the scout. You're the football knowledge guy. Just keep him safe.
Yes. That is the primary number one thing, obviously, for this team. But what about quick tempo offense? Trevor Lawrence today on how that could help things out.
Yeah, it helps a lot when you can play with tempo. It obviously slows down the pass rush. You know, guys get tired eventually, and it just helps us keep the defense on their heels. It's harder to dial things up when you're playing against a tempo team. You know, you don't get set. You don't always get your call in, so a lot of times, you know, you go back to your base call or whatever that is. So that helps. They're a really good defense. So we got our hands full with that, but we're excited for the challenge. You know, obviously we got a good plan that we're putting together. Great day today. But yeah, tempo was good for us last week. So we'll keep, you know, expanding on that and do what we need to do to put us in the best situation.
So there's, you know, two sides of this as well. Obviously, as you see his numbers last week against Atlanta. There's those five rushes for 39 yards that John loves. And then for the season, 58% passing. But, you know, there's two sides of this quick tempo argument too, Bucky. All right. Speeds it up. It keeps the defense off balance, all that stuff, if you're moving the ball. Well, as John would say, if you're going quickly and going three and out, the defense is right back on the field again.
Yeah, from a philosophical standpoint, there are a lot of things that kind of go into being able to play with tempo. If you want to play fast, then what you have to make sure is that you are able to get first downs. But part of being able to get first downs then comes to, okay, how can we put runs and passes that are high probability for success? Meaning quick passes, bubble screens, things that allow you to get 5-6 yards so you can consistently move the chains. The RPOs where you may have three plays packaged into one, you have a run, you have a quick pass, you have a bubble screen, all of those things into it. And so when you say that you want to do these things, I don't know if it's something that you can kind of just halfway get into and say, yeah, we want to do a little bit of it. You almost have to live in that world, and you have to trust that Trevor Lawrence is a great decision maker. He's not only going to make good decisions with the ball, but he's also going to keep himself out of harm's way. And so that's the debate that they're probably having in meeting rooms, trying to figure out how much do we want to kind of delve into this world, because it does take a different philosophy than the offensive philosophy that we've seen to this point.
Yeah, I mean, I love tempo. I really do. I like when an offense gets to the line of scrimmage quickly. When it's working, it's devastating for a defense. I covered it for 10 years with the Colts where they would go no huddle. It worked. They had a high-functioning offense. The obvious issue is what Bucky said. If you don't get the first down, it's tempo, because it's really tempo because you're off the field in 30 seconds. And, you know, and that's not so good, because all of a sudden – we've seen that around here the last couple of weeks, where when your defense is on the field, 49ers ran 34 plays to the Jaguars 4. Well, you up-tempo that. And, you know, it's if it works, it's terrific. So, again, I think as Trevor Lawrence said today during his availability. It's not something tempo that you can do all the time. You have to pick your spots with it. You still have to play. And he used the key phrase, complementary football. Well, what he means there is that tempo doesn't always complement the defense that well. So do it right, have it work, mix it in, just like with the RPOs. Mix it in. You have to have some of it. Is this offense ready right now to be all up-tempo? I would say that the talent is not there to do that yet.
Yeah, John.
Not all the time.
To speak on it, like some of the things that you can do with tempo is it's at its best when it's the element of surprise, meaning that James Robinson breaks off a 12-yard gain, first down, get on the ball, go again. Have a 4-yard play, get on the ball, pause, fake dummy count, assess what's going on. The headset is still working. Nan Belville can talk Trevor Lawrence through some things, and you can dictate the thing. And so when we talk about from a philosophical standpoint, this is everybody being on board and being able to communicate and having a clear vision for how this offense should operate. And, you know, like it's a little grab bag to try and do it like at this stage, because there are a lot of things that need to be kind of baked into it. But I do believe if you kind of get the tempo going for your quarterback, he'll get into a rhythm. But you have to make sure that the plays match how fast that you want to play, because it has to be high completion percentage passes. It has to be runs that can get you 3 and 4 yards. You have to be able to move the chains. If not, you're right. It's 1, 2, 3, punt, defense is back on the field, and then over time they get worn down, and then a close game becomes a blowout because your defense is just tired.
Hey, Bucky, how much more difficult is all this with what Urban's been talking about with the fluidity has been his word, meaning you've got new receivers, Treadwell, Austin, you now have new tight end coming in. It would seem to me that it would be more difficult to sort of tweak these things when you have revolving door with personnel.
You know, it actually could be easier, John, because if they just come in on Monday and say, you know what, guys, we're going up tempo, hit the 12 plays that we're going to run, and we're going to run them over and over and over again. Just learn these 12 plays. Don't worry about the entire playbook. Everyone can get up to speed, because most of the guys that you mentioned played in collegiate offenses that were tempo-based. And a lot of times, it's a lot easier to do now. You're repeating a lot of the same plays, and you have to have success, and you have to have some variance in that on a week-to-week basis. But, I mean, at the collegiate level, they believe the reason you go tempo is because you get so good at repeating those plays that at some point they master them. And look, the guy who just got a ton of money to go to USC, Lincoln Riley, I think when I look at the sideline, his call sheet is about that big. And they score a ton of points at Oklahoma doing it. I know the NFL is a little different, but it ain't how many plays that you call, it's how you run them and how you execute them.
Yeah, if you can get it done and score points, that's all that matters. We're just getting started on Huddle Up with Bucky Brooks. We'll come back in a moment and take a look at the L.A. Rams, and we'll see Trevor Lawrence's cleats. It's My Cause, My Cleats this week around the NFL. And Huddle Up with Bucky Brooks is brought to you by Fields Cadillac of Jacksonville and Fields Cadillac St. Augustine, members of the Fields Auto Group. And this is Huddle Up with Bucky Brooks on the Jaguars Digital Network.
I think it's really cool. I haven't even seen a lot of these actually, so I'm excited to look at them. But I think it's super cool to give guys a platform to, you know, show what they're passionate about, and then get other people involved, you know, the artists, the nonprofits, whatever it is. I think it's a really cool thing the NFL does, and it's also cool getting to see all the designs and everybody wearing them on the field. It's going to be awesome.
That's Trevor Lawrence, of course, Jaguars quarterback today on Boxing Day for My Cause, My Cleats. And there's a look at Trevor Lawrence's cleats this week, Long Branch Elementary. That was the group that greeted Trevor when he arrived at TIAA Bank Field the day after the draft. They were out there with signs and everything, and welcomed him to Jacksonville. So he's honoring that school with his cleats today. We'll see another pair or so coming up a little later on the show, and they'll wear them during the Week 13 matchup against the Rams this week at SoFi Stadium, and in Week 14 against the Titans at Nissan Stadium in Nashville. And nearly 50 Jags players and coaches have elected to participate this year. So good causes. They'll be auctioned off later down the road for charity. Huddle Up with Bucky Brooks continues. J.P. Shadrick, John Osier, and Bucky Brooks. And let's move along to the Los Angeles Rams, the opponent this week. Battle of teams that have lost three consecutive games. The Rams, though, are certainly very much still alive in the NFC playoff race. But since they put the all-star team together, Bucky, they are 0 for 3.
Yeah, it hasn't gone according to script out here in L.A. They are not necessarily playing great. And a lot of their problems don't necessarily stem from all the new faces. It kind of stems from their style of play. Right now, what they have is kind of a dilemma. The way that the quarterback plays is great for him, but it doesn't work for everybody else. This has been a team that has traditionally been able to run the football, throw off play action, have a lot of big plays off deception and misdirection. Matthew Stafford is a quarterback that is more comfortable in a drop back scenario where they're kind of spreading it out, empty formations, and he's working isolation routes and those things. The problem is their offensive line doesn't protect well in that kind of system. And so what you have is a very disjointed offense that doesn't look like the offense that we've seen from the Rams for the last few years, and they're struggling because of it. And the final part is this is not a very physical team. The teams that have had the most success against the Rams of late have been the ones that have socked them right in the mouth, and they haven't responded well. Now, I would like to say that Jacksonville can do that, but we just haven't seen that when it comes to a physical running game and a very physical defense. But the calling card for Rams, you got to hit the face and they get up.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, San Francisco has so much success. They can line up and do that, John, against a team like L.A.
Yeah, I'm curious, Bucky, is there any element to this? You know, you've got a lot of stars, but they don't strike you as an overly deep team. And I only see them, you know, and maybe that's what you're talking about with the physicality. But you've got all these stars, and you wonder after a while if they're drafting the depth to be a young team that plays the way they want to play. You know what I'm getting at?
I do know what you're getting at. Depth is a concern. Their frontline stars are outstanding, though. Like, the talent that they have assembled is terrific. The issue that you have is not only, like, trying to put all this together from a chemistry standpoint, the coach in the locker room, but remember, you have a new defensive coordinator in Raheem Morris who wasn't he's not necessarily running the same defense that Brandon Staley's running. You have Sean McVay trying to figure out how to call plays for a different quarterback than the one that he had for the previous 3 or 4 years in Jared Goff. All of those things kind of working together has been a challenge, and it's been a challenge as the tape has circulated around the league. The first 4 or 5 weeks of the season, it was great because no one has seen the Rams operate like this. Well, now the tape circulates. People see how defensive coordinators are having success against them. They put those same game plans to see if Sean McVay has an answer, and they have it. And so it's one of those things that'll be interesting to see on Sunday. What kind of game plan do the Jaguars put together on offense and on defense to take advantage of some of the vulnerabilities that this team has shown on both sides of the ball?
So Coach Bucky Brooks, defensive coordinator Bucky Brooks, Shaq Griffin's on the injury report still, at least through today, did not practice today. How are you covering Cooper Kupp?
Ooh, that's a tough one. It's a tough one because Cooper Kupp is Matthew Stafford's go-to receiver. Now, the thing about it is he can have a ton of catches but not have a major impact on the game. The other guys, Van Jefferson, Odell Beckham Jr., they tend to have a greater impact in terms of delivering big plays. So what you have to figure out, one, when you're the Jaguars, okay, what are you living to live with? Are you willing to live with Cooper Kupp having 10 catches for maybe 110 yards, but no touchdowns? Or are you willing to really double-team him, take him away, but you may give up a big play to Odell Beckham Jr. or Van Jefferson or Tyler Higbee? That is the big thing from a philosophical standpoint. What Matthew Stafford has struggled with, he hasn't been good with the blitz of late, but he also hasn't been good when you sit back and make him throw into coverage because he's big play hunting. He wants to let the ball go and fly down the field, and when you take that away, he has struggled being disciplined enough to take the check down. I think you have to have a little variety in the game plan to kind of see which Matthew Stafford shows up on game day.
It strikes you, and again, I don't know the Rams as well as Bucky, but it strikes you that they are sort of Buffalo West. Don't really run that well. And, you know, once Woods is out, OBJ is not Robert Woods. And it is a different, you know, everybody sort of has pinned, well, they got Beckham Jr. and they got Von Miller, and they're not the same team since. To me, it's more they're not the same team since Robert Woods is out. And he is such a underrated receiver to me that, again, that's my dime store kitchen table assessment of the Rams, because I don't know them as deeply as Bucky. But we haven't talked about Jalen yet.
Yeah, I was going to hold off and,
we gotta get to that.
Go to the defensive side. Okay, right. We can flip it around to defense now for sure. The Rams, well, it starts up front with Aaron Donald, of course, leading the way there. They've got outside linebackers and Von Miller and Leonard Floyd. And then, of course, on the back end, there's Jalen Ramsey, who you'll hear before you see, and he's a former Jag. Of course, everybody knows that. First-round pick in 2016, traded off in 2019. And Urban Meyer said yesterday on his show, and again today, you know, it'd be nice if he was here. Well, that ship has sailed, obviously, with the previous regime. he is now, again, a one and all pro nod back last season. And he's got three picks this year. And Jalen, when he wants to be the top corner in football, he can be, Bucky.
He absolutely can be. And what has happened to Jalen since he's come to L.A., they've allowed him to be more engaged. Last year in 2020 with Brandon Staley, Brandon Staley did a great job of putting him at what they call the star position, which is basically the nickelback position. So it's half linebacker, half slot corner. You got a little mix and sprinkle of some other responsibilities and duties that they gave him. But what it did is it forced him to kind of step into a leadership role because he had to communicate all the time. And sometimes players like that, they thrive with more responsibility when it comes to the defense and blitzing off the edge and doing a lot of different things. It's been a little different for him this year because Raheem Morris has used him extensively in the slot. And you know, sometimes you can waste him in the slot when you don't have a dynamic slot receiver that you're defending. It'd be interesting how to deploy him against Jacksonville, but make no mistake. There are some games that Jalen Ramsey may check out of. This won't be one. This will not be one. Unfortunately, I would expect Jalen Ramsey to be on a 10, and that 10 will be wide open from pregame warmups. He is going to be frothing at the mouth to get after the Jags.
No doubt.
Yeah, I agree to a point. I also think there's a scenario here where Jalen, I think he'll be incredibly motivated. He'll come out. But if he looks across the line of scrimmage for somebody to be mad at, there's nobody left. Nobody
around.
Right. He's mad at a logo at this point. I mean, you know, Linder's still here. Beyond that, there's nobody on offense. Linder and Norwell. Well, yeah, you know, okay. Coughlin's gone. Caldwell's gone. Everybody on the defense is gone. DJ Chark's not playing.
As much as I would like to think that players think in a very rational.
I know Jalen doesn't think rational. Yeah,
of all people, right.
It does not matter. It wouldn't surprise me if he goes and tries to bark at Urban just because Urban is the head coach over there.
Right.
Like,
no, I know.
Anybody with the logo on is fair game. I'll be at the game on Sunday. He may bark at me. I'm just going to try and stay out the way. Like, just no friendly fire from Jalen Ramsey. But I think he's going to be he'll be wide open. But to that point, like, maybe you can take advantage of that aggressiveness a little bit. I think you have to be careful and pick your spots. But, look, he's going to be looking to make big plays and all that other stuff. Maybe you use that to his disadvantage by maybe double moving him and doing some things to kind of get him out of sorts because he is so aggressive.
All right, Aaron Donald. How do you scheme against him?
Man, I don't like a. This is a tough one, JP, because this dude is unbelievable. It's rare that you find guys that are able to do what he does. He's a high motor player. He's strong. He has great leverage. I mean, he wears people out. They'll move him around. He'll play anywhere from inside to all the way on the outside stretches of the front line. He can get after the passer. I mean, look, the stats have not been as impressive as we're accustomed to seeing from him, but he is still a dominant player. This is one where, man, is where's Waldo? Everyone needs to know where number 99 is at all times because he's a game wrecker. And, you know, how turnovers impact the game. You got to keep him off Trevor Lawrence. We talk about Trevor Lawrence running the read option. It may not all the way be safe for him in the pocket this week with 99 chasing him. You got to make sure you take care of 99.
Yeah, John, Ben Bartsch better strap up this week.
Well, yeah, and I think Bucky's right. Everything you hear is he's probably not quite at the level that he was last year. But that graphic showed a remarkable thing. If you look at the history of this league, Remember 2011, 2012 when J.J. Watt was going to like reinvent defensive football, and J.J. Watt was a mm-hmm. wonderful player, but really couldn't stay healthy enough to do it. Mm-hmm. 2015, 16, 17, 18, 19, and 20, Aaron Donald's been first team all pro. You know how hard it is to stay healthy at defensive tackle to be a first team all pro. This guy's one of the greatest defensive linemen of all time. I mean, he's a walk-in first ballot guy at a position where you're not supposed to get sacks, defensive tackle. He's otherworldly good to me. I mean, obviously I'm not saying anything that's new, but that 15 to 20 stat first team all pro to be healthy and at a high level enough to do that. If you don't realize it already, realizing it's your watching a Rushmore type player at his position.
Yep.
I mean, he is unbelievable. And I think what is remarkable about him is just when we get a chance to watch him up close and personal, just watching how he looks physically. I mean, he is a rocked up, in shape, fit and trim dude. And if you ever have a chance to watch some of the stuff that pops up on social media with him and his footwork and him going through the ladder and over bags and all that other stuff, defensive tackles are not supposed to move like that. I mean, the dude is a defensive tackle with running back like feet. So it's a problem. And so you got to make sure when you're building your game plan, that has to be number one. Hey, man, how are we going to take care of number 99 at the point of attack? And then the other thing is, where is number five at the second level? Where is Jalen Ramsey? Is he blitzing? Is he in coverage? Who is he matched up on? Having a plan for those two guys, I think that is the priority. And then you got to build out the rest of the game plan from there.
I have one more Rams question for the scout since it's his show. Okay, all this said about the Rams, they've lost three in a row, and they've gotten whipped three games in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Double-digit losses. I think they're going to win Sunday. I don't think the Jaguars can match up with them. Is this a team that's still a Super Bowl team?
That's what we're doing. We're just giving away wins.
I mean, come on. You're going west.
We beat the Buffalo. We can't move offensively.
I mean, John, might as well just stay here and not fly 3,000 miles.
But realistically.
Holy smokes, man. I hope you don't pass by the players in the hallway. They'd be mad at you.
Well, I would say prove me wrong. I would love them to prove me wrong, but come on.
No,
but
I think
is this still a Super Bowl team, the Rams?
Yeah, I think they can be a Super Bowl team, but they have to improve in a few different areas. They got to be more committed to running the football. Because they don't run the football, they don't have the same kind of power and pop that they've had. Running the football is not only something about their physicality, but it works well with their offensive line. Their offensive line is built to kind of run like elephants on parade, the outside zone run, the things that they did successfully when Todd Gurley was there. And even last year with Cam Akers, like that's a big part of how they play. And then they run misdirection, bootlegs, and explosive plays off of that. But if they're going to line up and make it a 7-on-7 game, it actually plays into the Jaguars' favor. And so the glimmer of hope in this is what you pointed to. Hey, man, Buffalo Bills were supposed to come down to Jacksonville and walk all over the Jaguars and do all that magical stuff, and they got a beatdown because they kind of played into the Jags' hands. This could be a situation that kind of plays into the Jags' hands because they don't necessarily commit to run the football, but now it's a matter of can we cover them on the outside, and can we cover them on the outside for 60 minutes? That's the big deal. And at some point, you need to hit the quarterback. Do we have enough to hit the quarterback to make him change, to quicken the timing and the passing game and do all those other things?
Sounds like Bucky's guaranteeing a Jags win.
That's what it sounds like to me. We'll let that marinate for a couple minutes. We'll be right back, and plenty ahead with social media questions. And there were plenty today on Twitter. And this is Huddle Up with Bucky Brooks on a Wednesday on the Jaguars Digital Network.
Oh, my cleats for my best friend, Steve Tellefson. Incredible human being. He's been through a lot, battling first testicular cancer, and then kind of from there, it's kind of spread that he was at the Titans game. But yeah, he's got a pair of those coming too. I think this is the fourth or fifth year now, and he gets a pair as well.
That is Brandon Linder today, and there you have his cleats, Testicular Cancer Awareness Foundation. Well done there, and part of the My Cause, My Cleats campaign. The next 2 weeks, the Jaguars will wear these, and they'll be auctioned off at a later date for charity. You can visit jaguars.com/MyCauseMyCleats for a complete list and a look at their shoe designs and causes. Good stuff. of course, from the Jaguars. Hey, the inaugural Jacksonville Barbecue Festival is bringing the best barbecue in the nation to Florida December 10th through 12th at TIAA Bank Field. Brisket, ribs, burn-ins, much more. Enter for free and pay as you go, or go hog wild with a VIP pit pass that gives you 2.5 hours of all you can eat and drink. Visit bbqfestjacks.com, and where Bucky comes from, they have some good old-fashioned pig pickings up in Carolina. I don't know if they'll have that at this one, Bucky, but why not?
Right? I mean, I don't know. I mean, that pig picking in North Carolina is always special, particularly when you get a little vinegar in the barbecue, a little coleslaw, a little nice bun with that. Mm. You know, maybe get some French fries and a nice little lemonade with that. It's a good day there, JL.
You know, it's funny, day. Buck. They don't even pay us to run that spot. JP just does it on his own.
Yeah, that's right.
He's so excited about that event.
JP just loves it. He loves it. But I understand his roots, where he comes from. I understand why it's such a big deal.
It is. It is a big deal. It should be a fun weekend here at the bank. Let's get to social media questions. We've got a few today. Let's start off on Twitter with @ZachBierman. Realistically, how much can be done in one offseason to make this offense more explosive?
Man. Wow, this may take longer than we can think about. Need a couple different things. Like, speed is a huge part of the equation. So you need more explosive playmakers on the perimeter. That means one or two wide receivers. Obviously, Travis Etienne coming back at running back adds a little juice to the equation. But you have to have more speed, because the only way that you can generate big plays, you have to have guys that can turn short passes into big games. You also have to have enough guys that can get past defensive backs and go over the top. And then you need to be able to hand it to a running back that can go to distance from anywhere on the field. Those things add an explosive element, which lead to big plays, which lead to more points.
Yeah, I think it's a concern. I mean, I know it's something that they will heavily, heavily address. ETN's got to come back and be ETN, which, with a list Frank, you know, I have heard nothing to think that he won't, but you still got to see it. And then, you know, people listening to me get tired of hearing me say it, but wide receiver is a tough spot to fix in 1 year to the degree that people want it to be fixed, because free agent wide receivers, if they're elite, they're usually out on the market. There's usually a reason guys are out there. So you can do it, but you better pick the right guy. And then rookie wide receivers, again, it's more common now for guys to come in and make quick impact, but it's still a tricky spot to me. I don't think you'll pick it in the top five, you know, if they're picking in the top five. So you're talking about a second round pick or trading up into the first. It can be done, but you're swinging and you got to hit it. And it's a curveball, not a fastball in the offseason, put it that way.
Yes. Yes. Next question. Social media. Moving along. @BiddyRoss. Do the Jaguars have someone on staff who reviews all the other teams' film to steal or imitate plays that other teams have used with success? Also, can or does Trevor ever call an audible?
So to answer the first one, yeah, like, all the coaches look at the tape, and you have people, quality control staff, that will look at the film and they will jot down notes, and they will be able to kind of pick up on tendencies and patterns and things that have been problematic for the opponent. And so naturally you bring those to the coordinators and you see if that works within the fabric of what you do on both sides of the ball. And so you want to make sure you test your opponent and see if they fix the issues that have given them problems. As it relates to Trevor and audibles and those things, I would like to think that it's probably reasonable to expect him to have some freedom at the line of scrimmage. But a lot of times when you have a young quarterback, sometimes you limit how many changes they can make at the line until they've kind of proven to you that they can handle all the responsibilities of setting the protection, identifying the mic, making sure that you get people in and out the huddle the right way, looking at the play clock. It's a lot going on. So sometimes you try to restrict those things so your quarterback can play fast, because he doesn't have as much mental clutter.
Yeah, coaches are always trying to draw from everything in the league. So I don't think it's necessarily one guy on staff. I mean, this guy's question sort of implied that there's one guy combing through all the film and writing down, yeah, the 49ers did exactly this. It's not really that. You just sort of watch the league. I agree with Bucky. I'm sure Trevor, there are certain things during each play that I'm sure he can check to, very limited. Hey, if it's this, do this. What he doesn't have, I'm sure at this point, is the entire command of the playbook to call any play out of anything. It's more go to the line in this situation with two plays. If this passes there, check to a run.
All right. One more question. Social media, Twitter today, the_JagsFan615. Are we all ready to see and experience Jalen Ramsey this weekend? P.S. Run Robinson.
Well, ready or not, Buck.
Yeah, here it comes.
I mean, ready or not, it's going to come. He's going to be jacked up. He's going to be out of his mind. He's going to obviously want to play at a high level because it's his old team. I think all of us have a little juice. I mean, I think I can I guess I would equate this to Jalen Ramsey's the jilted partner who now gets to see his ex all over again. And so he's going to be a little revved up. He's going to be ready to let the Jaguars know what they're missing. And so we'll see what it looks like. But I think at the end of the day, after it's kicked off and after we get through the first handful of plays, look, it comes down to playing football. And so if the Jaguars execute and do the things that they're supposed to do, they can walk away with a win. But Jalen Ramsey is going to be Jalen Ramsey, whether we like it or not.
That's right.
We just got to settle in and enjoy the experience.
And again, I'll go back to this. What's he mad about? He got what he wanted. He wanted to be traded. He got out of it.
It doesn't work like that. That's a very rational approach.
If anything, the Jags should be mad at him.
I understand that, but it doesn't matter.
I know.
It's always that. You ask any player, you disrespected, no one believed in me, all that other stuff, all the underdog stuff. I mean, it's Jalen Ramsey's own Rocky Balboa movie. That's what he's going to have this weekend. He's going to feel like he's the underdog. So he's probably somewhere in the meat locker just pounding away at the meat, getting ready.
I just hope he's healthy enough to play.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good way
You never know. Those back spasms sometimes tend to pop up on game.
I just hope he's healthy enough to play.
Yeah.
On that
generally
note,
speaking.
That'll do it for social media questions today. One final timeout. Our final thoughts. We've had a lot of them already. It's Huddle Up with Bucky Brooks on the Jaguars Digital Network. And the head coaching carousel is spinning faster, really, than ever right now. Some high-profile schools have changed coaches in the last 48 hours. And the Urban Meyer name pops up, right or wrong, in these times, it feels like. Is that flattering? Is it annoying? Is it distracting? What are your reactions when you see your name on these lists?
I spent so long in college football that you're talking about some great places, so when I start getting text messages or phone calls, you know, of course it's flattering, you know, the respect I have for that profession. But I have no interest. I have a great relationship with the owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. I love the 904 area and feel committed to these players. And, I mean, this losing stuff will kill you. I mean, it will kill you. But we're all committed here to turn this thing. And I speak on behalf of our players, our coaching staff, and we are going to grind and work. And, you know, the vision of a full bank, TIA Bank Stadium, and, you know, a high-flying offense and all that. Well, we have the quarterback. We have to just keep building and getting better.
That's Urban Meyer, of course, on the Urban Meyer Show yesterday. And welcome back. It's Huddle Up with Bucky Brooks, J.P. Shadrick, John Osier, and NFL Network analyst Bucky Brooks. I have no interest, he says, in the college stuff. And he's committed to Jacksonville, Bucky. Just heard it on the show yesterday, and you know all that's going on. His name was thrown around all day yesterday on Twitter, but no more.
Nah, no more. Okay, so he's committed to the job that he has in Jacksonville, and he won't rebuild the program. And so now it's about taking the next steps in the rebuilding process. Obviously, this year hasn't gone according to script, and so it's about trying to evaluate what went wrong, how it can be better, and how this team and franchise can move forward and get the results that everyone in Jacksonville wants. And so if that's his focus, then, look, we have to take him at his word and kind of move on.
Yeah, moving ahead, John.
I'm asked all the time, because with Urban Meyer you get questions all the time. Will he leave for college? Will he leave in any capacity? With a 2-9 record, I get questions all the time. Will he be back next year? I've seen nothing to indicate that he won't be the head coach here next year.
There you have it.
In any capacity. So, but with Urban Meyer, whenever a great college job opens up, and I'm sure it'll happen after the college football season, something will open up and they'll address it because he's one of the greatest college coaches of all time. That's what you get when you hire Urban Meyer. You're going to get that sort of rumor all the time, but I have no reason to think anything's ever going to come of it.
Bucky, what's your feel on Sunday at SoFi Stadium, Rams hosting the Jaguars?
Well, look, man, it all depends on which version of the Jaguars show up. If the Jaguars show up ready to eliminate the mistakes and the turnovers and the things that have plagued their play the last three games, then this can be a game that goes into the fourth quarter and Jaguars can win it. But if they're going to turn over the ball and jump off sides and have a bunch of penalties, then they can get the doors blown off. So a lot of it depends on what shows up, which team shows up in white. And if the good version of the Jaguars shows up, then, hey, it should be a competitive game.
John?
Very true. I mean, if the good version shows up, but this is a team that's trailed by double digits in 9 of 11 games this year. So the good version has to show up before you believe it's going to show up. Yeah. So I hope it does.
And you got to score points. Jaguars are among the worst in the league in scoring this year and had 14 last week. Too late in a losing effort to the Falcons. Bucky, have a good week. We'll talk to you down the line here.
Hey, see you Sunday, Buck.
Hey, see you Sunday, J.O. Let Trevor run. Let Trevor run. No throws, more runs.
That's Bucky Brooks. That's John Osier, Joe Fortunato on audio, Brent Reber on the video. I'm J.P. Shadrick. We'll catch you next time. It's Huddle Up with Bucky Brooks on the Jaguars Digital Network.